Good morning and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. It is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent, the word means that's coming, something is coming. And we know that we're preparing our hearts and our minds for Jesus to be born during this Christmas season. It's a time to prepare. But there's something else we're preparing for too. It's the return of Christ. We don't know when. It's God's will and God's knowledge. It's not for us to know. But we prepare our hearts and our minds for Jesus to come again and usher in the kingdom that will have no end. So, good morning. I'm Pastor Rod Hank, and it's my pleasure to worship with you all today. There are a few announcements as we begin our time together. First of all, you may notice that we're set up a little differently for Advent than we usually are, and that's because of the limitations that we have right now and the number of folks that we can come in to decorate and do all that stuff. But don't worry. It's going to change soon, and things will get back to normal. So this is our temporary Advent setup. But we certainly want to thank Lou Ann and Vern for all their hard work to prepare what we have for today. Thank you from all of us here at church. Also, I've been asked by the Stewardship for All Seasons group to let you know that there has been a little snafu with the mailing, the bulk mailing. So folks who live in 8034, I believe is the zip code, have not received their envelopes yet. We're working on it. If you have not received your envelope and you live in that zip code or another zip code, you can let us know. But just rest assured, we'll have more information coming from the post office very soon. And speaking of Stewardship for All Seasons, we have an announcement via video from Joe Fangman.
Good morning. Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful for our church family. Our second ministry initiative of the Filled with Joy 2021 Stewardship Campaign is fulfilling our servant hearts. Joy has a long and proud history of serving its members, community, and world. We have amazing service projects, including Holy Hammers, Winter Shelter Network, and our latest endeavor, partnering with Zion Lutheran Church in Puerto Rico. When COVID finally ends, there will be so many opportunities for our members to serve, and serve we will. Because of your generosity in 2021, we will be able to continue the many service ministries we have done in the past and meet the new needs of our members, community, and world. Servant Day in 2021 is going to be most important and have a new meaning with our time, talent, and treasures. Please take time to look over the bulletin insert that's entitled Fulfilling Our Servant Hearts this Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and Sunday. And remember, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy.
Thank you, Joe. There's only one more announcement today, and it's kind of a big deal. Gladys has a birthday, and she is turning 90 this year. So help Gladys celebrate. Send her a card. Send her some love. Let her know that you're thinking about her. That's it. With that, let us begin our worship together the way that we always do. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take some time to share that peace with the people around us. We continue with the lighting of our first Advent candle, the candle of hope. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe. You call all nations to walk in your light and to seek your ways of justice and peace. For the night is past and the dawn of your coming is near. Bless us this morning as we light the first candle on our wreath. This is a candle of hope for our waiting world. Rouse us from sleep that we may be ready to greet our Lord when he comes. And welcome him into our hearts and into our homes, for he is our light and our salvation. Blessed be God forever. Amen. We join together in singing our opening hymn, Messiah. Continue our worship this morning with our confession and God's forgiveness. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose forgiveness is sure and whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Together, let us honestly and humbly confess that we have not lived as God desires. Let's take a moment for silent reflection. We confess. Loving and forgiving God, we confess that we are held captive by sin. In spite of our best efforts, we have gone astray. We have not welcomed the stranger. We have not loved our neighbor. We have not been Christ to one another. Restore us, O God. Wake us up and turn us from our sin. Renew us each day in the light of Christ. Amen. People of God, hear this glad news. By God's endless grace, our sins are forgiven and we are set free. Free from all that holds us back. Free to live in the peaceable realm of God. So may we all be strengthened in God's love, comforted by Christ's peace, and accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn is Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers.
Rejoice, rejoice, believers, and let your light appear. In evening is advancing, and darker night is near. The bright moon is arising, and soon it's dawning night. Up, pray and watch and wrestle. At midnight comes the cry. Our hope and expectations, O Jesus, now appear. Arise, O sun, so long for this delighted sphere. With heart and hands uplifted, we plead, O Lord, to see the day of earth's redemption that sets your people free.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's pray together the prayer of the day. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sin, and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue this morning with the reading of the lessons.
The first reading today is from Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9. This lament comes from a people who have had their hope shattered. The visions of a rebuilt Jerusalem and a renewed people of God, spoken in Isaiah 40 through 55, have not been realized. Instead, the people are experiencing ruin, conflict, and famine. This lament calls God to account, to be the God who has brought deliverance in the past. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and we have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are your people. The psalm today is Psalm 80, 1 through 7, and 17 through 19. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you are then enthroned upon the cherubim. In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come to help us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will your anger fume when your people pray? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink. You have made us the diversion of our neighbors. and our enemies laugh us to scorn. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Let your hand be upon the one at your right side, the one you have made so strong for yourself. And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life that we may call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. The second reading comes from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 9. As the Christians in Corinth await the advent of Jesus, Paul reminds them how the Lord has already enriched them through spiritual gifts and will continue to strengthen them until the coming day of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he might find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue with the children's sermon.
Good morning, everybody. Hi, young Americans, boys and girls, everybody out there. Hey, I sure do miss you guys. But today, I wanted to show you this video. Guess where I am? I'm at my house. I'm sitting on the front porch of our house. And I'm so excited today because I'm waiting. I'm just really, really waiting for, you know, the UPS truck, because I'm hoping that the UPS truck is going to bring me something awesome today. So I'm just waiting, and I'm watching, and I'm waiting. Well, it's kind of quiet right now. But you know what I hope? I hope it brings me like a really cool present or something, some kind of computer, something or something really cool. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wait, hold on. Here it comes. Here it comes. There it is. Okay, it's pulling up. It's right across from our house. It's right there. It's stopping. It's gone. Well, you know, it's kind of silly that I am hoping to get a package today for a couple of reasons. One is I didn't order anything. Another reason is I wasn't expecting anyone to send me a package or anything. So I guess it was kind of silly to sit here and wait and hope that the UPS truck would bring me something today. See, I don't think that's really what hope is. I think hope would be if somebody called me and said, hey, I'm sending you a package and you watch for it, and then you could be excited and you could wait. And when it came, you'd say, oh, thank you so much. Well, that's kind of how hope works in the church, right? It's not that we're waiting for anything magical or just a wish or something to happen like that. It's that God has made us all kinds of promises, that God would love us and take care of us, and God would give us what we needed. And so sometimes life is hard, and then we wait, and we watch, and we just hope that God will fulfill all of God's promises. It's faith, really. It's knowing that God loves us and is going to take care of us. That's what we base our hope on. You understand? It's kind of capiche? Yeah. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for making us promises. And help us to remember that when we hope in you. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all God's children said, amen. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I watched the 6 a.m. news last Monday morning. They had a story about COVID, which isn't surprising at all because every day we have many, many stories about COVID on the news. But this story was about the grocery stores and how they were expecting it to be extremely busy in spite of COVID the closer we got to Thanksgiving, just like every other year. But they said there was a loophole. The reporter said that Monday morning was the perfect time. It was the absolute best time, the ideal time to go fetch the necessities for your Thanksgiving feast. So even though I was supposed to be having a day dedicated to writing sermons, instead, I wrote a grocery list. And I got appropriately dressed, which means for Monday, basketball shorts, a t-shirt, winter moccasins, and a mask. Then I went for a very quick trip to the King's Supers there in Castle Rock. I power walked through the aisles, rapidly gathering the groceries that I needed. Then I headed toward the checkout counter. When I realized that there were absolutely zero cashiers to check out your groceries. All those lanes were closed. Then I looked and noticed that the self-check lanes were barricaded. And I kid you not, they were barricaded with shopping carts, like they were expecting a new round of toilet paper riots. What I'm telling you is this. There was only one self-checkout lane that was open. And there were three lines of people feeding this one lane. They were twisting and slithering all the way down the length of three full aisles, waiting for their turn to check out. I went and stood at the end of one of those lines for about 3 seconds. But you know, I fancy myself a man of action. Others might say that's a fancy way of saying impatient. So I went to find someone. I told one of the workers about the current travesty and the serious lack of cashiers and open lanes, and she looked at me and she said, "I know." So I did the only thing I could do. I went to the back of the line and I metaphorically sat on my hands and waited my turn. Oh, and by the way, two things happened. There were people who didn't know or understand that the line went all the way to the back of the store, so they just tried to step right in near the front of the line. But the second thing, don't worry. I mean, there were other people who were more than happy, eager, in fact, to tell them that the back of the line was at the back of the store. Sometimes we get ugly while we wait. It is really hard to be patient. 2020 has been a very strange year. Have you seen those memes online that say, if 2020 was a blank? No, let me show you some. If 2020 was a bag of chips, it would be this: toothpaste and orange juice. If 2020 was a pinata, if 2020 was a slide, and my personal favorite, if 2020 was a scented candle. One more. I found this while I was writing my sermon. It's a 2020 bonus pick. Enjoy. In other words, people are just finding creative ways to express that 2020 has been a rough year. And I've had more than one person come and ask me if I thought that 2020, you know what I'm going to say, was the end of the world. Listen, I fully acknowledge that we have some very serious problems that we have been dealing with this entire year. And y'all don't need me to list them all again. But you know, this has been an unusually difficult year. And I totally understand why people would look at all the recent events in a cumulative sort of way and draw the conclusion that, well, this is it. God is done with us, fed up to here, not going to take it anymore. This is the end. That we are experiencing those events predicted by the Old Testament prophets and even by Jesus himself, like in our gospel lesson, when he says, and I quote, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." In other words, cataclysmic world events, signs in nature, everything going to hell. And then at that moment, Jesus is going to come back. And you know, when Jesus comes back, we are all going to be in big trouble. You know, I'm not sure that's the way that people of faith should be looking at the current world events. And I'm absolutely sure that's not how people of faith should be looking at our God. On Wednesday mornings this year, we have been studying the book of Revelation of John, what some people call Revelations. And it's interesting to me that people are intimidated by the book, by all the symbolism and the numerology and the graphic visions of suffering and misery and judgment. In other words, I think people are scared of what the book represents of the end of the world that they think John is describing in the book of Revelation. But what most people don't know is that book was written to a specific people at a specific time in a specific situation, in order to give them hope, because they were in the middle of their own multifaceted existential crisis. The Christians at that time were being persecuted by the Roman government. The Christians were suffering severely on a daily basis. They weren't allowed to do business or to buy food or to practice their faith. They weren't allowed to be active followers of Christ without the constant fear of death. And on top of that, things were happening in the world around them. There were signs, earthquakes, volcanoes, dark skies. And people were looking at all this and saying, "This is the end of time." Then John had his visions. The Holy Spirit gave him this series of visions, actually, that weren't designed to put the fear of God into the people of faith. They were visions given as a gift to the church so that we would understand that God has not abandoned us. So they would know that all the suffering that they were going through and all the current darkness was only temporary. It wasn't going to last forever. It was a limited time kind of deal. These visions were designed by God to assure the people of God that even if they died in the course of their life for their faith, that Christ himself was going to win this war against the powers of evil and the devil and the world, that Christ was, is, and always would be victorious. In addition, all who were marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit, they were going to be okay. That Christ was going to set things right for them. That evil would be destroyed and the people of God would be saved. And that would be that. And just so you know, as modern readers of the Word of God, the book of Revelation is not a map or a guidebook or a puzzle to be figured out or a checklist for the end of the world. It serves the same function that it has always served, to give the people of God hope to carry on in the midst of difficult times. That's it. That's what the book says. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to abandon all hope over. God is still God. Jesus is still the victorious Lamb, and the Holy Spirit is still at work inside of us and out into the world. And you and I, we have nothing to fear because we belong to God now and forever, period. By the way, this is the commercial. If you're interested, the Wednesday morning Bible study on the book of Revelation has been recorded, and all the weeks that we currently have are online. And coincidentally, next Wednesday on December 2nd, the men are starting to study the book of Revelation chapter 1. And of course, you are invited. Anyhow, back to my point. My point is this. It's the same point that Jesus had at the end of the lesson we have from the Gospel of Mark. He said, "No one knows. No one knows about the day or the hour, not the angels, not the Son, only the Father. And since no one knows, and there's nothing we can do about it anyway, it seems to me that the best thing that we can do is to stop worrying about whether or not we are living at the end of the world. It's not our problem. It's not our business. We need to just trust God." And Jesus says, "Keep alert. This isn't the end. And anyone who tells you that the end is near or the time has come, they don't understand who you are or what you believe, or more importantly, to whom you belong. We aren't terrified of the day of the Lord. We're just waiting and watching. Jesus will come back someday. We say it every week in the Apostles' Creed because we look forward to the day when he comes back. Because when he does, that's going to be a good thing. It will be the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. And so Jesus tells us just about as clearly as he can, watch. Wait, but not like you watch Netflix, not passively on the couch with a bag of Doritos. While we watch, while we wait, we are called to do the work of Christ in this world. We can do the work of Christ in this world. We can work to make this place a better place. We can love and share the love that God has given us. We can reach out to those in need with the resources that we've been given by God. We just need to not get overwhelmed by what's happening and just keep going. Just continue to do the things that the followers of Jesus do. And then when the end comes, if we are alive, or for that matter, even if we are dead, when the end comes, either way, we have nothing to worry about because we belong to God. So keep awake. Wait patiently on the Lord. Understand when it all comes down, you have nothing to fear. The God of love, the God of life, the God of hope, the God of all things has claimed you and named you a child of God. And God's perfect love casts out our fear. We don't have to be afraid. We just have to wait and watch and hope and dream about the new kingdom, where God will be our God and we will be God's people. And there will be no more mourning or weeping or sorrow or hate, because all the old things will be done. And God will wipe every tear from our eyes. See, that's the promise. That's the hope we carry inside of us. So don't worry. Don't worry. Instead, watch, wait, work, and always, always hope. In the name of Christ, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn of the day. Continue our worship this morning by confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. on this first Sunday of Advent, let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, we look forward to the day when you will come back and everything will be made right. There will be no more weeping and no more sorrow, and even death itself will be destroyed. Help us to watch for you. Help us to wait for you. Help us to be faithful while we wait and to work for you to accomplish your goals in this world. And Lord, help us to never lose hope. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, again, we do pray for all those who are struggling with the issue of hope. Help us to not be overwhelmed by the events of this day. Help us to not be overwhelmed by the things we see around us. Help us to understand that you are still God and that we are okay. Help us to have hope, Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we do pray for all those who are sick or suffering or in need. We pray for those who have lost loved ones recently, Brooke Rickerfurt, Dwight Stenseth, Dan Lowe. They've all lost significant people in their lives. We ask that you surround them with your love and grace. And Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who need strength and healing in their lives this day. We pray for Gary Ruthven, Merle Brown, Ryan Steinert, Lucas Bettendorf, and all the others who we know and love and hold in our hearts and raise up to you. And Lord, in the midst of this pandemic, we ask that you uphold those medical professionals who are working so hard day and night to heal the bodies of your children. We ask that you be with those who have COVID, who are suffering or sick, those who are nearing death. We ask, Lord, that you bring an end to this pandemic and help us to move on with our lives on the other side of this. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, Lord God, we ask that you be with us, your church. Help us to be a light in the darkness, to give those around us a sense of hope in you. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue with a special piece of music. Wait, watch, listen, and hope. We continue our worship with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you would also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so today, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And our Lord Jesus, another time, taught his disciples to pray. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the body of Christ given for you. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. I invite you all to receive the blessing. Now, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, in this meal you have given us a foretaste of that day when the hungry will be fed with good things. We ask that you send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim your greatness of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. Let us sing together our closing song.
Came down that we may have love. Hallelujah. For that we may have joy. Hallelujah forevermore. Hallelujah forevermore. Hallelujah forevermore.
Go in peace. Prepare the way of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.